Iraq becoming the second Syria? Who are the gunmen that have pushed Iraq to the brink of civil war? And why is the Prime Minister accusing regional states of sponsoring sectarianism? This is The Debate.
Iraq has been rocked by another wave of terrorist attacks, which have killed large numbers of people and left a trail of destruction nationwide. This time, relatively calm regions were also hit by bombings. These images show the aftermath of a bomb attack in the southern city of Basra, which has not witnessed much violence recently. The Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has strongly condemned the terrorist attacks that have surged across the country in recent days.
Today's cabinet meeting was held in the background of the crimes which were committed by detonating car bombs, targeting innocent people. Such attacks remind us of the crimes committed in Iraq when it was a square for terrorism and terrorists.
Maliki has pointed the finger at foreign countries again. This time, however, he did not name any government.
The militants are returning to use the political instability which has led to instability inside society as a result of sectarianism. The recent sectarian violence has links with foreign capitals.
The Iraqi Prime Minister had previously blamed Arab governments such as Saudi Arabia and Qatar for what he calls sectarianism in his country. Iraqi authorities say the terrorist attacks are carried out by al-Qaeda elements and the remnants of the former Ba'athist regime. Some analysts believe that al-Qaeda and the Ba'athists have formed an alliance to plunge Iraq into a Syria-style conflict. Izzat Ibrahim al-Douri, the fugitive leader of the Ba'athists and the henchman of the former dictator Saddam Hussein, has appeared in a couple of videos demanding the overthrow of the Maliki government. The exact whereabouts of Douri are unknown, but many believe he must be outside Iraq in a regional country. Nearly 800 people have been killed in terrorist attacks across Iraq since the start of this year. But Iraqis say they will not be intimidated by terrorism.
We will continue to defy terrorism, and such attacks will never hinder our determination to go ahead with our lives.
We have become accustomed to such explosions. We have seen blasts every day. These attacks will never frighten us, God willing.
You're watching The Debate. I'd like to introduce our guests. Iraqi journalist Mr. Intifad Ghambar is with me live from Beirut, and former Iraqi Kurdish regional government member Fredun Hilmi is with us live from London. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on The Debate. Our first question from our guest in London, Mr. Hilmi. The question of who's behind the attacks, when that question is asked, a lot of the media mention two groups. They refer to what they call Sunni insurgents, including al-Qaeda, and then Shia militias. How accurate is that?
Well, I think that the tools of the conspiracy which is going on at the moment are the sectarian groups that you are talking about, but I think the conspiracy which is hatched by the Western imperialist states and their baby Israel are to create conditions of terrorism everywhere in the Arab and Islamic world. And I think that to say that the Saudis are sectarian or the Qatari people are sectarian, I think that's not true. I think the fact is that these guys ruling those very rich emirates and kingdoms have absolutely no respect for religion or any cultural values. They are busy on a 24-hour basis pumping absolute trash from Turkish soaps to all kinds of anti-Islam, anti-religious propaganda and trash to actually propagate and promote Western lifestyle. Mm. They are not sectarian by any means, and they are not even Muslims as such. So I think that there is a conspiracy to cull the population of Iraq, Syria, and the other Arab countries, as well as the Islamic countries. Mm. It's nothing to do with democracy. It's nothing to do with religion or sectarianism or even ideology. These people have no values, no principles, no ideology.
Yes.
And they just do the bidding for the imperialists.
Okay, now we are hearing, I'll put this next question to Mr. Intifad Gambar, that it's not just the Shia areas that are being targeted. Of course, most of the targets are Shia, but we're also hearing that Sunni areas have also been targeted. Would you agree, Mr. Intifad Gambar, with our guest there, that this is basically nothing to do with the regional states like Saudi Arabia or Qatar? I mean, we've got the Prime Minister saying that this is a certain sectarian agenda being implemented.
Well, there is a clear evidence that Saudi Arabia and Qatar and other Gulf countries have interfered in Iraq in many ways and many means in the past and the present, and I think this will continue in the future. And I think what's happening in Bahrain and what's happening in crushing the revolt in the eastern part of Saudi Arabia has proven the Saudi Arabian government to be completely sectarian. I agree with him. It's not on the basis of Islam. This has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is a holy religion, and it's moderate, and it's very civilized. However, sectarianism has nothing to do with Islam. You see Al-Qaeda members and former Ba'ath members and Saddam's party members are causing this mayhem in Iraq, and they are targeting religious centers such as mosque and Husayniyat in both in Shia and Sunni to enrage sectarian tension and to try to divide Iraq.
Yes.
However, I think the government also bear the responsibility to reach some sort of political alliances that is that could diminish the possibility or the opportunity for such extremist groups or Ba'athists to use advantage of divisions to create war inside Iraq.
Well, let's go back to our guest in London. Mr. Hilmi, a lot of people are saying that right now this violence is being caused by an alliance between Al-Qaeda and Ba'ath members, members of the former Ba'ath regime. Would you agree with that?
Well, let me just say that I agree with the previous speaker that the Saudis and the Qataris are very much involved. I did not say that they are not. I said, in fact, the tools of this conspiracy are the groups that are actually doing the fighting. But the Saudi money and Qatari money and Gulf money is actually pouring into these areas to pay for the kind of new Al-Qaeda, which is now an Israeli version of the previous Qaeda, is actually causing havoc in the region. And this new Al-Qaeda is far more vicious and has absolutely no qualms about murdering people, raping, slaughtering, and doing anything they want. The previous version of the Al-Qaeda, which was American-made, they concentrated more on their enemies, or what they call the enemy of Islam, whereas this version is concentrating on killing people, mostly children, women, and the weak. And these people are far more dangerous than the previous Qaeda. As for the Ba'ath Party, well, nobody knows if they are still in existence as a force. They are probably in existence as individuals and shattered groups, but as a force, I have no evidence. I've seen nothing that points to their power or any ability on their part to cause any problems. I think the terror acts happening in Iraq are very similar to those happening in Pakistan, very similar to those happening in Syria and various other places. They have the same hallmark.
Yes.
And I believe that this is a conspiracy to reduce the population and stop the growth of the population of the region.
Well, I'd like to go to the next question, but just before that, I just want to tell our viewers, time to look now at a comment that's been posted on our Facebook page. Let's take a look at one comment specifically about the issue of sectarianism in Iraq, and I'll be back with the next question.
The only ones who are benefiting from sectarian conflicts are Israel and America, to divide and rule every Islamic country. Muslims should not allow this to happen. Shias and Sunnis need to stick together, otherwise they will lose their freedom.
A comment on our Facebook page there, right straight away to Mr. Ghambar in Beirut on this. Now, Mr. Ghambar, I guess there in London was suggesting that Western states are involved, Israel is involved, and we've got the alliance with the regional states as well. A lot of people are saying that all this could be the fault of the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, because of the way he's handled protests, they say, that have been waged in Iraq. But if we believe that there is a foreign agenda involved, what is the objective of that foreign agenda? I mean, why would Saudi Arabia be creating this new form of al-Qaeda, as I guess there in London was saying?
Well, this has happened since the fall of Saddam 2003. Saudi Arabia and Qatar and many countries in the region are not interested to see a successful democracy in Iraq. Successful democracy in Iraq with this amazing amount of wealth and power and intelligentsia would lead to the spread of this democracy to their countries and will shake in their thrones and will put them in a difficult position to rule their countries and steal the money of their countries at freedom now. It is very clear that as you mentioned, it is not only the responsibility of the government, it's the responsibility of all political groups to sit down together and reconcile their differences and reach to a point where they can pull the carpet from underneath those killers and Al-Qaeda members and Ba'ath members and Saddam's followers. Mm. And this has to be done. I mean, we used to think of, I basically work with the Iraqi opposition, and we used to think that the alliance between the Shia and the Kurds is a holy alliance, and we saw this alliance has gone to a very bad direction. Yes. And I think we need to restore this alliance to face a very important and strong front against those killers and yes. have this democracy, nascent democracy in Iraq, established and succeed.
So you refer there to the issue of Kurds. Let's bring this up with our guest in London, Mr. Hilmi. Do you think that the current tension now between the central government in Baghdad and the Kurds, if this tension is eased, it's going to have a positive effect on the situation?
Well, Mr. Ghambar has just described the root causes of what's happening in Iraq. He calls it a democracy, and I don't agree with that. I do not believe that there is democracy anywhere in the world. In fact, democracy as it started in this country was a means of allowing the king to tax the people as much as he wanted to wage war. That is how the British Parliament actually found its roots. To this day, there is no such thing as a democracy, because democracy means the rule of the people, which means the right of the people to decide. What we have in Iraq is the worst form of representative democracy, based on blocs that don't represent anybody but themselves and a small group of people with them. And all these so-called elections are false, because nobody in the world can represent more than himself. You can't have an MP that says, I represent thousands of people, in some cases 100,000 people, as well as his family, his friends, and everybody else. He just can't do it.
Do you think,
the whole business of democracy is a falsehood?
Yeah, sorry for jumping in here. Do you think the way that the Kurds have been implementing, for instance, activities, they've been signing contracts, for instance, with Turkey, there's been border tension, there's been even military forces involved, that this hasn't been helping?
Yes, I think what I was saying is that this is the root cause of the problem. The Kurds will now say that they represent all of the Kurds and what they do is sacrosanct, and the Shias and al-Maliki says no, he has the power. What they did was they came to a silly looking constitution which gave people different powers and left them all vague, where nobody knows exactly how to interpret those. So everyone is trying to take advantage yes. of this silly constitution. and the Kurds will do whatever they want. I mean, when I say the Kurds, I mean the Kurdish leadership.
Yes.
Because the Kurds, as a people, have absolutely no say in what the leadership does, just as the Iraqi people have no say in what al-Maliki does.
Okay.
Because these people do not represent anybody but themselves.
Okay, well, let's just take a look now at another comment that's been posted on our Facebook page specifically about this topic, and I'll be back with the next question.
Nuri Maliki should step aside in the interest of peace and unity.
A call there voiced by a lot of people right now. A lot of people are saying that Nuri al-Maliki is to blame. Others are saying that the issue goes far beyond Nuri al-Maliki. Let's discuss this with Mr. Infad Ghambar now in Beirut. So, Mr. Ghambar, do you think that Nuri Maliki is the problem? I mean, he's been blamed for discrimination. He's been blamed for a violent crackdown of protests. And he's also being blamed for the tension with the Kurds.
Well, certainly the top leader bear responsibility. That's naturally happening in any democratic system. However, it is also the political system and the way it has been set on basis of sectarianism rather than efficiency and qualification has led to this problem. I think we have a fairly good constitution, and I think people should follow this constitution and try to improve it if they find any problems. This is constitution cannot be free of faults. Obviously, this is written by human beings. However, I think this is going to be decided by the people in the coming elections. The people of Iraq can vote Mr. Maliki out or can keep him in power if they want to, and they could put this through their votes and through their ballots, and we have to wait and see. I think giving that, it is important to change the way that the political class rule the country and be in touch with the people of the country and try to listen to the people of the country, and I hope people will vote people in or out based on their performances rather than their sectarian identity or yes, ethnic identity.
Okay. Now, in London, Mr. Hilmi, one observer, I was reading an article, was saying that few people would claim that Iraq's Shia government of Nuri al-Maliki is perfect. But the indiscriminate terrorism, that writer was saying, that we're seeing now in Iraq is way out of proportion to any political grievance, for instance, that the Sunni population must have. We're hearing a lot of the mainstream media saying that Nuri al-Maliki is playing the sectarian card and he is actually to blame. But would you say that right now it wouldn't be wise for Nuri al-Maliki to step aside or for people to put all the blame on him?
It doesn't matter who rules in Iraq. He will be a man who will take power and abuse it. This is the case in every country where they call themselves democratic. There's no such thing as democracy, as I said earlier. And politics is the scourge of the people. Your guest in Lebanon says that the people will do this and the people will do that. All that the people can do every 4 to 5 years is to put a cross on a piece of paper. That's the extent of their democracy. Beyond that, they have absolutely no say in running the state or running the country. So this is not a democracy. Let's not fool ourselves. It doesn't matter. When Saddam was in power, it was the same. When Nuri Said was in power, it was the same. When Jafari, and so on. It doesn't matter who you bring to power. He is not going to be able to speak for the entire nation. And at the moment, we have different blocs that are contradictory and in conflict in Iraq.
Yes.
And you have a false election system which nobody knows how it works.
So what kind of a system do you think then Iraq needs if it wants democracy?
Well, not just Iraq, but the whole world will need a system that is of direct democracy. Today we have, many people are trying to change the system in the West to direct democracy. Because you've got the internet and you can vote directly for issues, you don't need mealy-mouthed corrupt politicians to represent you and to increase tension, whether it's sectarian, ideologic, or religious. the politicians play on these things, and the existence of parties is divisive because it divides the people into different sections, and it says this section yes. has the right, more right than the other, and you have this all the time. The problem is not with the person, the problem is with the system.
I'll stop you there, Prime Minister Hilmi, because we are short of time. I'd just like to give our viewers the final comment for this show. We'll take a look at that comment about what's being called the foreign agenda taking place in Iraq, and I'll be back with the rest of the discussion.
The USA, UK and Israel. The only way that they can keep control over other people is to have them fight each other. The British did it for years in Ireland first, then all over the world. Divide and conquer.
A comment posted on our Facebook page. I'll go straight to Mr. Infad Gambar in Beirut. Now, Mr. Gambar, when we are speaking about what Nouri al-Maliki says, the foreign conspiracies, a lot of people have now come out and said that those who are called terrorists in Iraq and who are carrying out the violent attacks are the same people who are fighting the government in Syria. And they're saying that those who are behind the militants in Syria are the same who are behind the terrorists in Iraq. Now, would you agree with that?
Well, terrorism knows no borders, as you know. I mean, and killers, anti-humanitarian humanity are all over the world, and they cross borders to kill people. And it was admission by Jabhat al-Nusra that they are extension of al-Qaeda in Iraq, and they all goes under the clout of al-Qaeda and in the world. So this is no secret to anybody. And I think those who are killing people or eating the hearts of human beings, cannibaling hearts of human beings in Syria are the same people who are killing innocent people in Iraq and everywhere else in the world.
Right, and quickly, Mr. Hilmi, before we run out of time, we know that the al-Qaeda in Iraq had said that it's founded the al-Nusra Front in Syria. So do you think that these are the same people now and they are being backed by those who want to make Iraq into another Syria?
Yes, indeed. I think they are the same people, the same groups. They may not know each other, but in fact they are created by the same people. And as I say, if you look around the world, especially in the Islamic and Arab world, you'll find that people are getting killed by thousands every day. And that is a process of culling. It has nothing to do with politics. You don't kill children and women because you want to get rid of al-Maliki. You can't get rid of him that way. You can't get rid of anybody that way. All you're doing is killing innocent people. And so there is no politics in what's going on at the moment. These terrorists yes. are there to kill, and they are not. They don't have any goal, any political goals.
Ex-Iraqi Kurdish regional government member Mr. Fereydoun Hilmi speaking with us there from London. Thank you very much. A big thank you to our guest in Beirut as well, Iraqi journalist Mr. Intifad Gambar. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of The Debate. We have run out of time. From me, Homa Lezgi. Until our next programme, it's goodbye.